This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was last Wednesday that an explosion rocked the Port Neches chemical plant. It shattered windows, blew down doors in the surrounding community, and there were another explosion and multiple fires and the release of chemicals into the air that prompted a mandatory evacuation during the Thanksgiving holidays. The evacuation order has been lifted, but the situation in Port Neches is still unsettled. We're joined by Jacob Dick of the Beaumont Enterprise, who, with a team of reporters on that local paper, has been covering this disaster. And Jacob Dick, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what is the situation now? Are fires still burning at the plant?
Right. So I just got an update maybe about 10 minutes ago from our county judge, Jeff Brannick, and we're down to one blaze in one of those storage containers there. That's down from 9 on Friday. So they've kind of narrowed down the containment area, and it looks like they're getting closer to putting it out. But with these being pressurized chemical fires, they've had to let them burn out.
Now, this is a facility that has a history of violations with the state and the EPA, correct?
It does. It was out of, EPA clean air compliance for at least a year. It's paid several hundred thousand dollars in fines in the past, but it also has a very long history in Port Neches.
I got a quote from Elena Kraft, Senior Director for the Climate and Exchange Health at the Environmental Defense Fund. It says, when you look at these facilities and their compliance histories, it looks like a rap sheet, that there's been multiple violations over these years, and that this has been something that people have been concerned about. Was the community concerned that this could happen?
You know, that's kind of been a tricky issue to put your finger on, and it kind of gets down to, you know, Southeast Texas's relationship with the oil and chemical industry. Most of the people I've talked to today, lifelong, or through the week, or lifelong residents of Port Neches, they grew up around that plant. That plant's been there since the early 1940s when it made synthetic rubber for the war effort, and they don't remember anything like this ever happening in their community, but they all kind of have a feeling that this is something that could happen. Most of them have either worked in the industry or have family that have worked there. So I guess it's not something that's at the forefront of their minds at all times, but it's a reality of living around these things.
Was the community prepared? Were there adequate contingencies for something like this?
Again, I think that's something that we'll probably learn more about as we have the investigation, this cause, and the actual response efforts. But there were around, at one time, there were around 20 different agencies that were part of the Unified Command. That's from local cops to firefighters to contracting fire agencies. The Huntsman Corporation next door had some of their crews helping with the suppression. And so whether that was adequate or was at a timeline that most people saw as satisfactory, I think that's something we'll see later, and maybe even in the courts as some of these lawsuits have been filed or played out.
Yeah, so that's what we're seeing today, lawsuits being filed, right?
Right. So we had a few filed in Beaumont on Monday, a few filed in Harris County. I'm still trying to keep track on when those might be heard.
Now, are these from people who live in the community? Are they what are the lawsuits alleging?
So there are a few class actions that have started with local law firms here. You know, people banding together to make sure that they get what they're owed. And we've talked to lawyers here who have said, be careful if there's damage assessors going out now. They're asking people to you know, sign waivers and in exchange for processing their claims. But there, we've also seen a rash of targeted ads in our area on social media from out-of-state law firms, you know, kind of looking like the claims number from TPC, but actually rerouting you to their law firm.
Well, so there's, I don't want to call it predatory, but there's very aggressive lawyers out there saying, you know, if you're thinking about filing a lawsuit, give us a call, that type of thing.
Yeah, this seemed to kick up a lot of attention in the outside law community, I suppose.
And so what are some of the concerns that people have? I mean, I know that there was an explosion. It blew out windows. It blew doors open off their hinges. Were houses knocked off their foundation? Was there permanent damage to personal property?
Yeah, so some of the homes probably nearest the plant in a good, you know, half-mile radius, quarter-mile radius, there was structural damage, rafters broken, walls shifted. And so I've talked to several people who have called out structural engineers with their insurance adjusters to come check those out. But then we also learned Friday morning that a lot of the equipment that exploded at the plant was full of asbestos. So we have a toxicology contractor the company's hired that has been going and bagging debris and making marking down locations that need to be cleaned.
So respiratory issues is a concern, not just with the asbestos, but also with some of the chemicals that were released during the explosion and that response?
Right. So we've had TCEQ, EPA, and several of the units on the ground doing air monitoring. They said that they haven't seen any volatile organic compounds or VOCs in high levels, but we did have four different hits in their monitoring of very small levels of hydrogen cyanide in Beaumont, and also VOCs in northern Port Arthur, about maybe like less than a mile away from Port Neches.
How many people worked at this plant, and they're going to be out of work for a while?
So there are, I think, over 100 permanent employees and usually around 30 or 40 contractors. And we heard from a company representative last night who said, as far as he's been told, the company plans to reopen. But what that'll look like or the timeline, obviously, is far out at this point.
So there's been one thing after another with this story. One of them, weird story that caught my eye, was a DWI driver that ran through barricades and somehow interrupted the ability to fight the fire?
Yeah, so there's been some bizarre twists, but that was actually the second driver that broke through some barricades in the early morning and hit water lines. But yesterday we also had a slight stoppage because one of the retention ponds at a suction line was put in to help feed water to the firefighters. An alligator was caught in that line and died as a result.
So looking at what's going on with Port Neches and the explosion and the response and the ability for first responders to get there and handle it and the community being evacuated and having to deal with Thanksgiving holidays out of their homes, I mean, I think there's a lot of the state of Texas and even other communities should be looking at what happened there and how we can get better at these types of responses. Do you think that?
I think so, but I think this case also holds kind of a special lesson for what do we do with these communities where homes were allowed to be built around these plants. The residents and the industry are very close together and have been for several years. And so I don't know that we've seen in the four or five incidents we've had so far this year around the Houston area.
Right.
I don't think we've seen something quite this close or quite this impactful to a community.
Jacob Dick is with the Beaumont Enterprise. He's a reporter there. All the reporters there have been doing a great job and following them on social media. I want to congratulate you on the coverage and keep up the great work. I appreciate you calling in today.